Hey, cashiers. We Have the Receipts podcast is coming at you live from Netflix is a Joke Fest in Los Angeles.
Chris, are you kidding?
No, Netflix is a joke, Courtney, but this is not one of them. Our listeners in LA have the chance to join us for a live recording of our podcast, We Have the Receipts, hosted by me, Chris Burns.
And me, Courtney Revolution.
Join us and a few surprise guests from your favorite Netflix reality shows on Saturday, May 4th at 1 p.m. at a secret location in Hollywood.
To be announced.
Get your tickets for the We Have the Receipts live show at tudum.com/WHTR. That's Tudum, TUDUM.com/WHTR.
Tickets are limited. If you can't make it to the show, we still want to hear your beautiful voice. Leave us a message at speakpipe.com/WeHaveTheReceipts.
You may even hear your own voice on the show.
Grab a ticket at tudum.com/WHTR.
And we'll see you on May 4th in Los Angeles. Bye, cashiers.
I owed it to her to have her know everything about me, including what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, and what I'm thinking, in order for her to make an informed decision at the altar. She needed to know exactly. It wasn't only my decision at the altar. She needed to make her own decision. So I don't regret doing it. I regret how I went about doing it.
Hello, guys, and welcome to a new episode of We Have the Receipts. I'm Chris Burns.
And I'm Lawrence B. Hamilton.
And today, Lauren, it's your Super Bowl.
It is.
I don't know if that's what... Is it still like, do people that retire from football, would you still say that it's...
Comeback. It's almost like a homecoming, I would say.
Yeah, it's like a homecoming.
Yeah.
Like Beyonce.
Homecoming vibes. And it's homecoming season, so this is perfect. We're continuing with our Love is Blind chit-chat.
Oh, cool.
Diving into these episodes, continuing. We're about to dive into episode 5-8. We've already talked about all of the chaos and craziness that happened in episode 1-4. So if you missed that, be sure that you guys go back and listen to those episodes.
Yes. And if you thought that was chaos and crazy, wait for these episodes, bitch. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of, we also have a very fun interview. Well, we'll see, because we haven't talked to them yet. We'll see if it's fun.
Hopefully,
or if
it'll be fun.
We'll see how it is for them. With SK Brennan and Bartice. So I'm definitely excited for that interview. I think obviously you guys listening love the tea, and you're about to get some steaming hot rooibos, if you will. All right, what are you thinking of this season so far? Before we jump into it, you've been there. Oh, what do you think so far?
Well, you know.
What do you think of it, I guess, on an entertainment level and on a trying to find love level?
You know, see, boom, that's the perfect separation, because that's what I have.
Yeah, like, separation of church and state is important.
Yeah, you know. Entertainment-wise, it is very interesting. Cringy at times, for sure. But it's hella entertaining. Falling in love-wise, there's a couple in my sights.
There's one, I think, that I feel seems very hopeful, genuine.
I agree. I think we have settled on the same couple.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people probably will. And just a reminder before we get into this, I think it's because I've already seen a lot of things on Twitter saying things like they filmed this and season 2 at the same time. I think that's so important to remember, because it does seem like a lot of the kids are acting out because they're trying to like match what happened season 2, but they hadn't seen any of that.
So they just came in swinging.
Yeah, they really came in hot.
Hot.
Who are your faves? Who's your fave couple? I'm assuming we're talking about the same.
So far, my favorites are Alexa and Brennan.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
They're a couple. I like the, they just seem genuine so far. What's being perceived on TV.
Yeah.
I haven't met them in person or anything yet, but we do get to talk to Brennan today. So I'm excited to just kind of scratch his brain a little bit and see, you know, was going on in his mind. But how about you?
Yeah, definitely Brennan and Alexa. Mm-hmm. I like Alexa's family. I think Brennan handles himself very well. I think there's a lot of couples that we'll see who ends up getting married and who doesn't. because I think it seems like a lot of the couples have some issues that they're kind of ignoring so far.
I'd say so. Big issues too, not like small issues.
Not like he leaves the toilet seat up. Like,
no,
he leaves his emotional toilet seat up.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think, I mean, I like a lot of them individually, but as couples, things seem a little off.
Yeah, you know.
There's also some couples that I'm like, maybe we should do a little wife swap. Like, I think that there are a couple of couples that I'm like, I don't know that you guys paired.
Oh, do tell. Can we talk about it?
I kind of feel like Colleen and Cole would be a better couple than and Matt and Zainab would also probably be a better couple.
It makes sense, right? It really makes sense.
Like, even talking about it now, because I wasn't thinking about it beyond the Cole and Colleen aspect, but I'm like, I guess Zainab and Matt also kind of are looking for similar things. Yeah.
Yeah. Although Matt, I feel like, you know, I know that he's been through a lot. Like, we hear him talk about his past, was it his ex-wife or his ex-girlfriend, like, cheated and got pregnant.
And people also keep coming for that, being like, he said they broke up at 24, but it was a 10-year relationship. I think they were married, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because he said divorce, but I think they'd been together since they were, like, through all of high school. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so she went and cheated and got pregnant with somebody else's baby, and he is definitely showing his insecurities throughout this grouping of episodes, because we see him flare up multiple times.
Girl,
especially with Colleen in this club.
He is ready to sprint from this relationship.
He's looking for reasons to, like, leave. Did you think about that whole club scene thing where he got mad? Like, she went to the club.
I think if that's the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
What's going to happen when she actually goes clubbing, you know?
My God, you know?
Let's get into it. I guess we'll get into recapped before we get too far into the club scenes, because we pick up episode 5. They've all just met each other. The couples have all just met each other at the party. Cole and Zainab are having, like, that beach day where it's awkward and she's feeling insecure that she's not really Cole's type, but that's on him.
Yeah, but also, I feel like, how many times and ways can Cole say you're unattractive? Like, damn.
That's what I'm
There's
saying.
There's no way in hell that every time Cole sees Zainab, he's just like, I just want you to know you're not as attractive as everybody else. I'm like
that is basically the vibe.
Like, dang.
And when he's like, I'm just being honest, like, Colleen, outside of this, Colleen's 100% more my type. But there's no perfect women except for Kim Kardashian.
Oh, my God. Like, or even when Zainab was like, so how would you rate me? And he's like, a 9. And then she's like, so are there any 10s here? He's like, yes, 2 people that are 10. Like, oh, God.
He's like, are you kidding? You fucking saw people, right?
Ouch. Ouch.
Colleen likes what she sees in Cole as well. Let's not be crazy. When they're in that pool together, the inappropriate conversation goes both ways.
Agreed.
And Matt also believes what Cole says in 1 second, but the arguments with his fiance are plentiful.
I'm so angry. And to me, it's just too early in a relationship for all that. Like, look, I know that we came on this show to find somebody and fall in love, but damn, it's been a week and you, like, the trust is not there, and it just seems like pulling teeth.
I understand, like, yeah, relationships take work, marriage takes work, but it shouldn't be taking that much work from the get, right? I'm like, if that's what that is, I don't want that.
Right. I can have that on my own outside of being filmed for TV. Yeah.
Which I think that's why Alexa and Brennan seem so much better than everyone else, because they don't seem like they have to work that hard.
I agree. Yeah, it's just, it kind of naturally flows for them, which I think is the key in all of this, which I feel like that's how relationships should naturally be, especially if you're talking about you're about to get married.
100%. I also loved when Brennan originally like sees Alexa and he's like, yes, which I think, yeah, no, which was like cute. Earlier episode, but I did love that. this is also episode 4. Nancy mentions how she doesn't really like Raven.
Yes, she did.
Which I think is funny because Raven doesn't like her either. She even says in like episode 2 or 3, she's talking about how Nancy, she's like, Nancy's like that girl that you go to high school with that you never talked to in high school and you see her at the like Walmart and she's like, oh my God, hey girl. And you just keep looking down and hope that she doesn't talk to you.
Oh my God. What a bitchy comment though. Like
I'm like, I assuming she didn't think they both would make it as like this in, far. Into, yeah. And then Raven talks about how the only problem between her and SK is that there isn't more beyond serious conversations. That is not the relationship for me.
No.
It's I think so, we need a happy medium in like the way Raven and SK see relationships, because they do both seem to like see it as like a serious, that's what they are looking for. And then Cole, who is like a teenager.
Yeah, right? He feels so young. Oh my God. I saw a meme online, which I thought was so funny. It said that Cole, they're like, so Amber and Barnett had a kid and his name's Cole and he's on this season of Love is Blind.
And guess what his last name is?
Barnett?
Yes.
I think they're related.
Isn't that crazy?
Something's
up. That's why his family is weird about meeting, because they're like, we've already done this before.
I know, we've done this time and time again. We're not doing this again.
They're like, your father, Matt, also had us do this bullshit.
Yes, exactly.
But Barnett and Amber are still together. I don't know if
they are.
We're going to be able to say the same thing about
Barnett Jr. It's not giving me forever vibes from those two. It's just, you know, so... Back to Raven and SK, though, because like I said, well, like you said, you know, they kind of have like this thing where they have these deep conversations and everything's so great. But the physical aspect is really dry. So we see Raven meet SK's family, his mom. And the mom is like, oh, my God, I love her. And in my mind, I'm like, really? But hey, you know, I'm not the mom. It's cool. She likes her. It's all good.
I was a little surprised also.
I was. And then she goes, she... gets her Nigerian dress fitting and she has this conversation with SK's mom and sister, and they're like trying to give Raven advice, you know, for being married to a Nigerian man. And they're like, yes, you have to keep food in the house, you have to keep stew. And then the camera cuts to Raven like, I'm not cooking stew in the house. That's not for me. Like, I'm a modern woman, which I totally get. But it's just like, I don't see where so many of these couples are just like blending. They don't seem like right matches to me. And like you said, the relationships are hard, but damn, it shouldn't be this hard. You know?
And I think because when Raven and Bartice meet, who like on paper, I think, this is what I really think, is like Bartice and Raven meet at that pool party. They're like talking. He's very, I think that if Raven was like, I made a mistake, it should have been Bartice. Bartice would have in a heartbeat
in a minute
dropped everyone, Nancy.
Oh, in the dust. Nancy would have been in the dust.
Because the way he talks, he's like, Raven's a smoke show. And when guys constantly call women smoke show, I'm like, that's... Mm-hmm. Down for me. I can't deal.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't deal with people red saying flag. Smoke show all the time. That's exactly. That's 25. That's how we know he's 25.
Smoke show.
So I think that him meeting Raven starts affecting the relationship, Bartice and Nancy's relationship. I don't think that Raven meeting Bartice like affected her and SK, which I thought maybe it would, but she seems... like steadfast that this is what the kind of relationship she wants, which is interesting. This is only they just meet, and I guess this is when Bartice kind of says like he's afraid of like the love fizzling out between him.
I know,
and it's like, girl, you were just singing how much you loved her,
mm-mm-mm.
Not but 5 minutes ago.
And then Bartice meets Nancy's family and her brothers. And I thought that it was a little rocky. I mean, it went cool, but I don't know, Bartice and Nancy, just something there seems a little not smooth to me too.
It, like, the fact that she makes more money than him, that she's like established, that she owns properties.
Mm-hmm. With her ex.
With her ex.
Which is a big problem for Bartice.
But is it a problem or is he looking for a problem?
Exactly.
That's what I felt like. I felt like a lot of things he was like, this, I'm like, I bet that wouldn't have been a problem with Raven.
Oh, exactly. He would have been like, okay, Raven, well, I see you out here making your money. And then when Nancy's like, how dare you be out here?
Because I felt like even when he was meeting her family, when Bartice was meeting Nancy's family, like, yeah, her family's intense, but not like too intense. And if he was really about it, he totally could have made that meeting a lot smoother.
Yeah. And I mean, from a front row perspective of Cam meeting my dad, walking into a situation where it's like, okay, my dad is, you know, takes no shit, no nonsense type of thing. Cam wanted to be with me to the point where it's like, I don't care what type of friction I'm coming up against. Like, it's all about you. Yeah. I'll do what it takes for you.
I'll take any insults. I'll eat any insults and swallow my pride in those moments. Like, that's exactly what you have to do. If I was a father, like, I would be like, I dare them to talk back.
You need to just take this right now. Bartice just wasn't giving me, like, I'm here for her, whatever it takes.
Brennan did exactly what should be done when meeting.
Yes,
the
Brennan
parents.
Converted, didn't he? He's converted.
He said, I think, I don't know if he actually did or if he said he would.
Okay.
He was willing to.
But that's a big step, okay?
That's a big step, especially to convert to Judaism. That takes a long time.
That reminds me of the Sex in the City.
Yes. With Charlotte.
Yes, with Charlotte.
Alexa also tells Brennan that she wants a prenup. And he's just like, okay.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, my darling.
Zainab and Cole's families aren't involved. So Zainab, I think both of her parents are not
deceased.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they're,
maybe it was a stepmom situation.
Oh yeah, her stepmother.
Okay. Yeah,
but I think her dad passed away too, but I think she's still with her stepmom all the time. She's just a great woman. I'm like, this woman's doing everything she can. It seems like she feels that Cole's maybe not right, but she's trying. And Cole's family just doesn't want anything to do with the show.
Yeah, same thing with Raven.
Yes.
How would you feel if you were in that situation, like on Love is Blind, and you found someone and you connected and your family's all excited, but their family didn't want to be like involved at all? Would that be a red flag for you, or do you think you would be able to like continue?
It would be a red flag in the sense that I would just be like, I feel like that's gonna affect you. I couldn't,
in the relationship.
Yeah, like if my parents didn't like somebody, I couldn't really be with them.
I feel like it would just be too hard
and it would ruin everything, you know? And I think especially for Zainab, who has such a small family and like little family members left, that's got to be really hard, because that's all she wants is like,
yeah, family.
Family. So to go into it already like that, it just doesn't seem right. The stars aren't aligned.
100% agree.
And yeah, Raven's family, I don't know. Raven seems kind of, she deals with everything like a CEO, not a,
she does,
you know,
like a robot, like, almost.
Yeah.
Everything's so like, this is this way and this is that way, and I have no emotions involved. It is what it is. I just want her to like open up or something. I don't know. Maybe this is her version of her vulnerability, because maybe vulnerability looks different to everybody.
It does. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, when someone's really being vulnerable and when they're
yes.
not, even when she's like, I have to, this is in earlier episodes in the pods, but when she's like, I work in nightlife. And then Bartice is like, oh, stripping, which the way she says it makes it seem like it's something more something like nefarious that. Than
working at a, as a bartender. Or
yeah.
Something.
She's like, I bartend. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I work in the nightlife. Like, girl, like, what?
Yeah. The way she said it, I was like, you're saying it like it's a lot more than bartending. But
exactly.
We have, oh, and Colleen and Matt's family meeting. And Matt's mom questions the couple's intentions, is the, you know, which obviously a lot of families, I think, in this situation would. But it does seem like Matt's not over
his ex.
His ex.
He came in with some baggage. Okay, I'm talking bags and bags.
Yeah.
Luggages, suitcases. Ooh.
A lot. And then we're at like 11 days to the wedding. This is episode 7 and everyone meets up again. They all meet to converse, and Zainab and Matt connect on. This was fun. I liked this little meeting. The Matt and Zainab meeting, which I guess they didn't really have chemistry, so maybe they wouldn't make a great couple, but kind of talking about what is going down with Cole and Colleen silently. And Matt kind of like warns her not to settle for less than what she deserves. Andrew, the fake crier, ends up at the party as well. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't either. I do have to say, I thought that Matt was giving Zainab some good advice. Like, you know, you just need to leave him because he should see you as the queen that you are. I was like, okay, that's good, Matt. Now you need to take that and apply that to Colleen while you up here screaming at her for going to the club. But anyway.
And storming out of everything. Yeah.
You're right. But yeah, Andrew talking to Nancy was interesting because she like burst out in tears. And
oh,
then
this was
Bartice
this
comes
was,
over like, is everything okay?
This
no,
was, this was the night. That's the night she went clubbing. Was the night of this party.
Oh, that was the night. I guess they hit the club up after that.
Forget these dudes. Let's go shake our asses. Yeah.
This is also when like Nancy and Bartice was drinking. Was obviously drinking. Like the way he, I'm just like, he's like, I wish I had what you had. Like he's. Just like, I wish I could have be as attracted to, like.
No, that's exact. That's what I was getting from that. You too. Like, you have somebody who's hot and she went out with her friends. Me, I'm over here with freaking Ugmo. I don't think she's ugly at all, by the way. But this is how he was, you know. These guys are just, they seem so shallow.
It's, they're young. And Cole even says at one point, I think, like, so Colleen and I are the bad ones. We should just switch fiancés. Because he's also drinking a lot. Like.
Is this the ultimatum? Like, what show are we watching? Because
I feel like people also have been like, it's been going viral how often Colleen says she's a ballerina.
Yeah.
I'm a, as a ballet dancer, when I eat a cheeseburger, I think about a pirouette. Like, girl, that has nothing to do with ballet. Why?
She's like, everyone thinks about me. Everyone thinks it's cool to date a ballerina until they do it. And then they're like moving on to the next. And I'm like,
huh?
I don't think people think like that about that. And so, yeah, this is when we end. Episode 7 ends with Matt and Bartice having a frat guy conversation in the apartment.
Right.
Colleen comes back the next, or I guess that night, and sees Matt's bags packed. And she's obviously concerned that he keeps wanting to break up every time any, like, that is right? Such an insane thing to do.
You sneeze too loud, bitch.
Like,
I'm packing my bags. I'm
how many
here.
Times do I have to tell you to take your Zyrtec? It's like,
oh my
yeah.
God. My Lord.
Raven and is trying to fit in with the other women on the show, and it's like putting a square into a circle. Like, it just isn't.
Honestly, my experience on Love is Blind, going on that show, it really does force you to like take a look like inward, like your past relationships, how they affect everything. So maybe that's something she should do before she even thinks about marrying someone or even getting into a relationship.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, I can see having walls. There's like a fine line between protecting yourself and like mm-hmm. not being flexible at all. Like, I feel like you have to be kind of flexible in a situation like this. Like, you have to be open to things being a little different. And I mean, in SK talking about how he's going back to school, like in a different state. Like, does she seem like, also, number one, if you knew that, why are you here?
Right. Why are you here? Why did you even agree? I know y'all talked about that in the pods. You knew he was a student.
And he like in the, he shouldn't be on the show. Like, you should be on the show next year, maybe then, when
after
you're
you settled with whatever. School.
There's a reason that they like do this show in a, where everyone's from the same city so that it can work because it's whatever.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I feel like going on the show with that pending, it's like, okay, so you know that you're about to be moved first and foremost, and you're about to be like heavy duty into school over the next couple years.
He's like 34, 35. It's not like he's like 25 and going back to school. So like this is going to be a big part of
your life. Adult life.
So we'll see. We have Cole apologizing to Zeynep for not... He says, like, I'm sorry for not making you feel like you're the only girl in the world. Let me, like, listen, girl. If he's doing this shit in the first couple weeks.
Yeah. Just imagine.
In a year, you're going to be Lorena Bobbitting his ass. Like, it's just never.
It's not. Yeah.
Cole reminds me. I was telling my friend, I'm like, he reminds me so much of like the guys that you used to like when we were in high school. And
he does.
They were in high school and that's why they acted like that. Because like watching it, I even texted her. I was like, there's a guy that reminds me so much of all of the men you dated in high school.
Just immature.
Like he was married and divorced already.
Yeah. And he's like 26, something like that.
So you're not ready for another marriage.
I gotta say, this crop of people like going into this show, and I know that it's, you know, you can't go there expecting to find the golden person. I mean,
yeah.
I did, but
yeah,
no, just kidding. but you know, that doesn't happen often and it's hard to happen. But if you coming on the show with baggage and all this, like I could have stayed in the real dating world for this.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
I just feel like,
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We have, oh, and then before the episode ends, Colleen meets Matt's friends, who I love. And Matt's friends are very like, yeah,
he's very,
he's going to be the problem. If they're like,
yeah,
I think that that's another reason Zeynep would be better with them. I think that
they really do make a good, you know, now that you mention that, I won't be able to unsee or think about that. Like, I feel like I want to get them two together. Like, y'all should go on a date.
And because I'm like, she wouldn't be out clubbing.
Right. She wouldn't.
And Cole and Colleen would be having the best time out at the club.
Doing ballet dances and whatever type of dances they want to at the club.
He can be talking about big cats ad nauseum. Like. Whatever.
They could just, do their thing.
We have 8 days left until the wedding. This is when Raven hears more of the Nigerian wifely duties. I mean, listen.
She's just like, no.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And he is kind of like, I feel like he kind of in the beginning was like, well, I wouldn't expect that. But it does kind of seem like when she starts saying like, well, I'm not like I'll never be that. He seems a little bit disappointed.
Like, oh. Yeah, I think the pressures of family are probably getting to him because his mom and his sister are probably like, this is our culture. Like if she's going to join our family, she needs to get with it. And then I will admit, I do get how Raven is like, well, it's my wedding too. You're not marrying your mom. But totally. I feel like, you know, certain cultures, that just kind of comes with the territory. You know, if you're marrying into a culture and this is big in their culture, you kind of have to respect that and know that's what you're getting into.
And in Nigerian culture specifically, like if the mom says, no, that's not who I want you to marry.
Yeah,
that's
like,
generally how it's going to go down.
Exactly.
Here's what I'll say. If I was her, I would be like, of course, I'll always have these things. And when his family comes to visit, I'll have those things.
Oh, yeah. But not every day.
But of course, I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm like, if you tell your fucking mom that I don't have stew in here for you every day.
It's over.
Yeah, right. Like, that's also on him to be like, I'll show her how to make, you know, she's not Nigerian. She doesn't know how to make the stew. Like, in her head, she's probably thinking it's a fucking beef stew. Like, yeah. It's a different type of stew, like, you know?
Right, right.
It's
agreed
on both of them, I think, if this doesn't come to fruition. Oh, this is also where Cole tells Zainab that his parents will only meet her after they're married.
What's the point? Like, wouldn't you want to meet your son or daughter's fiance before they get married? Why would you meet them after? Well, that goes to show me that his parents are like, you're not about to get married and you're not about to waste my time.
And I bet if he wasn't already divorced,
that probably plays a big part into it too.
Because he says they're very religious, so they probably were very upset when he got divorced.
His divorce, yeah.
And so now he's rushing right on into something else,
something new on this TV show.
And you know, like my family would probably never be comfortable being on TV. I mean, I think if I actually was like, listen, I know this is crazy, but I actually am like in love with this person and whatever. Like they would probably be like, okay, we'll see. But
yeah, we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot we don't know about Cole that is affecting the decision that his family is not.
Yeah. There. Decided not to be there.
Anyway, guys, that's episodes 5 through 8, but I think we should talk to the people who know about it the best.
Yeah, I got questions for these guys.
So first we have SK. He is a 34-year-old data engineer. He joined Love is Blind because he wanted to fall in love with his partner's mind before their appearance. He got lucky because Raven is a dime, as we all know. I mean, everybody talks about
it. Very beautiful.
He obviously, we talked about it, comes from a very traditional Nigerian family. He has set certain expectations about his future wife.
And then we also have Brennan, who's 32. He's a water treatment engineer. Now, we saw him get engaged to Alexa. They were actually the first couple who we saw get engaged. And he came on the show because he is looking for an authentic partner who wants to share their culture and values with him. And honey, he found that. Okay. He found that. Also, you know, we see that he comes from a different background than Alexa. He comes from a Christian background, but he's willing to convert to Judaism. He loves this woman.
Anything for Alexa. And finally, we have Bartice, a 27-year-old senior analyst. He joined Love is Blind to find someone who could take all of his jokes and even crack some back at him. He got engaged to Nancy, and he told Nancy that physical attractiveness is very important to him. And in the real world, he would have gone for someone like Raven.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us for this. So we're going to start with an easy question for all of you. What was the most challenging aspect about being on the show for you personally?
Oh, man. For me, it was communication. I was awful at communication before coming on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wasn't good. And I was kind of hoping that being in the pod setting, I guess, kind of being confined and only dealing with the wall would kind of help that. So For me, it was really kind of lethargic just to get out there and just kind of say everything that you wanted to say without feeling like someone's face or actions are kind of judging you. So it's really nice.
Yeah, I think for me, mine was around like being vulnerable. I've always been like a very, very close, calculated person wanting to make sure things are in order. And, you know, for the first time, I had the chance to just like go beyond the surface level conversations and really dig deep with someone. And yeah, that was pretty challenging to do.
Yeah, similar to that, I think for me, it was expressing my emotions. I'm kind of more reserved when it comes to that front. So not only expressing my emotions, but expressing them to somebody that I love and being kind of extremely honest.
Ooh, I tell you, Love is Blind is crazy for having you take a look, you know, on the inside. I know what that's like. So I know what you guys feel and what you're going through. So Brennan, so your relationship with Alexa seems to be pretty, you know, clean and perfect on paper. Were there ever any like off-screen arguments that we didn't see between you guys that made you like think twice about getting engaged or anything that happened off screen that we didn't see, because you all seem pretty like, you know, I'm here for it. No second guessing. Like, I want to get married. So did anything happen where had you questioning that?
No, man. I mean, it's kind of weird to say that. The only thing that was questioning was the fact that we hadn't had an argument yet. You know, because I feel like you really need to have an argument with somebody in order to feel or understand like maybe what this person needs when you're doing that, or kind of just the back and forth of that and how you conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Bartice, you really took a risk when you admitted to Nancy that you indeed found Raven attractive. Looking back, do you regret doing that, or would you still be honest in that way?
So here's the deal with that. I wear my emotion on my sleeve. I am very honest and sometimes too direct and too brutally honest. I wanted Nancy to know. I owed it to her to have her know everything about me, including what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, and what I'm thinking, in order for her to make an informed decision at the altar. She needed to know exactly. It wasn't only my decision at the altar. She needed to make her own decision. So I don't regret doing it. I regret how I went about doing it. It was too direct and too honest. I could have been more sensitive to her, to my fiance's emotions. So that part I do regret. But I'm proud of myself for being able to relay that information to her and not hide it from her, because that would have turned out worse.
Now, SK, since, you know, Bartice is right there and everything, y'all in the same room, I need to know, did you feel threatened when you found out that Bartice confessed that he was attracted to Raven at the pool party, because he was giving eyes?
Yeah, for me, honestly, I've always been like very secure in, you know, how I go about my relationship. I've dated baddies before. I knew my girl is a baddie. it kind of comes with the territory, you know, like it kind of comes with the territory. I honestly didn't know that conversation went down until we actually saw it for the first time. One of the things that was just really fucked up to me was that I had that conversation in passing with the other guys there. You know, like, I thought it was like a quick bro moment. And, you know, like the fact that it came up back to Nancy, one, I felt bad for Nancy, you know, to like just sit there and listen to that. But for me, on my end, I knew I was good. I knew, you know, me and Raven, we were good. So I wasn't really threatened or worried about the situation at all.
I like the confidence.
I was just going to say, that's like the perfect confidence reaction, confident reaction. Speaking of confidence, Brennan, you got drilled pretty hard by Alexa's large family, her father, a bunch of friends, and you handled it like a champ. How were you feeling in that moment? Were you annoyed or were you just terrified?
No, definitely not. I wasn't annoyed, but it was so like, it's one of those things like, you want to, in the ideal world, it's you have a conversation with the family and you meet the family individually. You don't meet them in a setting like that, especially getting engaged like in so quickly and moving in so quickly. It's just a unique experience, I guess. I had never done it before. So I was confident that, you know, I loved Alexa. I was very confident in us. So I wasn't nervous about explaining to them where that, you know, why I felt that way and how I felt the way I did. I guess the nerves kind of came because for Alexa and I, family is so important. That's what, at the end of the day, that's what you have. And family, friends, whatever. And getting grilled like that, I completely understand them trying to grill me, but I wanted their support for us or for her, not necessarily for me. I didn't expect them to like me or be okay with it, but I wanted them to support her and I wanted to be there for her. So it was a bit of a grilling, but whenever they told about the shakshuka thing, so everyone was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, thank God for the shakshuka.
Now, Bartice, what was going through your mind when you met Nancy's family? Now, her brothers seem pretty intense. Did that scare you or make you think twice about your relationship?
No, that didn't make me think twice right away with her brothers kind of taking me out to the front yard and sitting me down. Steve was very aggressive, but I mean, that's how I would be for my little sister. You know, I'd be just as aggressive and just as grilling as they were with me. I was sitting there confidently answering their questions and kind of just taking it. Because I wanted to be respectful for her family, because I'm big on first impressions, so I didn't want to rub anybody the wrong way the first time meeting her brothers and her father and then her mother as well.
Yeah, you handled it very well. Everybody handled that part well. I would be having a meltdown.
Internally, we're melting down, but externally, I think we all did a good job.
Keep your cool.
Uh-huh.
SK, were there any points that you felt you and Raven weren't maybe compatible, especially after her meeting your family and coming just from different cultures and lifestyles? Was it a concern that maybe she wouldn't understand, or that you two wouldn't be able to bridge the gap?
Right. I think for me, one of the biggest moments for me that kind of showed that was we had like really big fundamental differences about the role family plays in a marriage, right? Especially like around the time when we're preparing wedding planning, right? You know, it came down to like my family was really, really worried about the fact that her family wasn't going to be there. And for her, she was like, you know, like, she didn't really think that was much of a big deal, but that was very concerning to my mom. But at the end of the day, you know, like the way I went about it was that your family is not really something you decide. Like you're just born into a family. And I kind of felt for her that, you know, she didn't ask to not have a sibling. She didn't ask to not have 17 brothers and sisters. So that wasn't really something she could control. So that honestly made me kind of sit back and, okay, yes, traditionally we love both families present, you know, the whole gang. But in this case, it's just going to have to be something a little bit different. But yeah, that's what I struggled with.
Now, Brennan, you know, initially after meeting Alexa's family and friends, did the difference in lifestyle scare you at all? Or were you like, this is something we can get through? Or was it something that, you know, immediately you were like, uh-oh?
Our lifestyles, it's really funny how it looks, how everything came out. Our lifestyles, I've lived in the city for the past like 10 years. I love the city. But you gotta know where you come from, right? You gotta kind of bring some stuff of where you're from back to where you're at. And I'm definitely from the country. So it's great that she was able to be okay and love where I came from and vice versa. So
country bullshit.
Yeah. all the guys always say that it's a country bullshit. So I try to take them out sometime, but we're trying to plan it. So.
Oh, I love that. okay. Bartice, the intimacy between you and Nancy seemed to start to dwindle after you guys had moved in together. What do you think caused that? Or do you think it was just the stress of everything kind of becoming so real?
Definitely stress was a factor. But that first week when we moved in together back in Dallas after Malibu, I had just kind of started to uncover some issues in our relationship, some fundamental differences with lifestyles, family. The family meeting didn't go as well as I hoped it would. And so the like me trying to deal with all of that was kind of exhausting me. So I didn't have the energy to kind of please her the way she wanted to be pleased or the way she expected to be pleased but from a fiance, because I was trying to get past problem X, Y, and Z that I had uncovered that first week in Dallas.
All right. Well, thank you, gents.
Thanks for having us. Nice to meet y'all.
Thank you so much.
Wow. What a conversation. I mean, we loved chatting with them, so we're so happy they were here. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gave me a little bit different perspective hearing things from out their mouths, but I got to see the rest of what happens on this season because it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's so much left in 3 episodes, and we can't wait to see, and we know you guys can't wait to see. And next week, we will be talking to the girls, okay? We'll be talking episodes 9 through 11 and be chatting with some of the favorite ladies of Love is Blind Season 3. So let us know what you want to know. Send us your questions, your thoughts, whatever. We love to hear from you. So whether it's an email, a selfie video, you can email us at receipts@castmedia.com, that's cast with a K.com, or slide into our DMs. I'm at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm Need for L Speed. And like we tell you every week, guys, be sure that you are following and rating and reviewing. We have the receipts wherever you get your podcast. Also, go and head over to Tudum, the official Netflix site, to find and fuel your fandom for the shows and movies you love. That's netflix.com/TUDUM. Today's episode of We Have the Receipts is a production by Netflix, Tudum, and Cast Media. We're your hosts, Chris Burns and Lauren Spee Hamilton.
Our producers are Arvin Lee and Enid Cortez. Our executive producers are Colin Thompson and Harris Lane. Our editor is Elliot Deneve, and our technical engineer is Travis Holden. See you next week.
See you next week.